Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, Taggets, you got a combine or a tractor that needs serviced? Check out Complete Ag Resolutions. Today's episode is brought to you in part, as always, by Complete Ag Resolutions, offering you the best solutions in your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/Complete Ag Resolutions.
Do it.
Hey, Terry.
Yeah?
We're on Stitcher.
Take a picture.
Tagcast and the Zappa Tagcast.
Listen on Stitcher, it lasts longer.
Yeah, it'll have you in Stitchers.
And now it's time for the Tagcast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you. Jerk off.
See, because I paid a lake for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The Tagcast Podcast starts right now.
The fellow podcasters were unaware whether Dustin was on drugs.
It was Lance.
It was unclear whether Gatch was on drugs.
Heavy drugs.
Heavy drugs.
He did bite off the fellow podcaster's ear.
And then I tattooed my face. And started raising pigeons on top of a building.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Mike Tyson. But if you pay $60, you can get this free cover for your iPad.
What, a coffee pot?
You'll get a coffee pot and a mug and this free eraser.
Uh-huh.
It's smooth. Hello and welcome to the Tagcast Podcast with the smooth sounds of Dustin Carl Gatch. Episode 220 with 20 small cigars from Frank Zappa. We got a special guest in the studio today in the form of Standard Ass Carl. Carl Sundberg, welcome.
Yeah, bitch!
What's going on? He could say fuck.
I know, that's my favorite part about a podcast, is the fact that I can cuss profusely.
Yeah. I said that on the first episode.
Yeah.
Suck a bunch of dicks! Like, that's cunt. Great, you cock, bitch, fuck!
I caught the last 10 minutes of an older South Park last night where people were drinking Butter's Cum.
Nice.
Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen that. That's hilarious and gross.
Tom Brady, they're like, now in 32-ounce size, and he's all...
Butter sauce.
I'm trying to choke down a drink.
What was it called, though? Do you remember? It was called
Butter's Goo.
Butter's Cum.
Butter's Goo.
Something Butter's.
And Tom Brady was drinking
goo.
It?
Yeah, that's he's incredible. Like, now 30, and he's all choking it down. Oh, it was bad.
I'm so glad it was Tom Brady.
Because he was having, wasn't he having nocturnal emissions?
Something.
He was
caught the last 10 minutes of it.
He was having
wet dreams.
It was
all about when they moved the kickoff line to the 35-yard line and to be safer in football. That was a thing.
Oh, it was safe sport.
Football boring as fuck.
Yeah, and that was the thing is they all started wearing tinfoil hats and then they changed the ball to a balloon.
Sarcasm ball.
I always forget South Park, man. It's like everybody always they'll be telling me about it.
New seasons.
They're still relevant as ever.
Yeah, they make sure, like, what was the thing that they, Marcus was telling me about this? The last episode, it was about the refs, I think.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm
how
sure
did you get that so relevant? Like,
if you look on Netflix, on that video service, you can see they have like a 60 Minutes, I think it was, or some ABC show where they followed them just for their 6 days of putting the show
together. I've heard about that,
and it was, I can't remember what episode it was, but yeah, it just like from the brainstorming to them totally
actually
sketching out like once a week having that, oh shit, I don't think we're going to have anything worth throwing up there. You
or
know?
We got to change it at the last minute.
Did
you remember seeing when Obama got elected on a Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
And they had the episode on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Brand new episode where Obama was elected. And they had two endings of some sort, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, see, if they did the backstory on, like, my show, it would be like 8 seconds. Like, this is preparation.
What do you do for prep?
I drink coffee and I open the web browser.
You look at some stories.
Yeah. Read the shit on the website. And
So
here's some more Motley Crue. Hey! It's not really that exciting.
How is that new Motley Crue? I haven't heard that new Motley Crue.
Sex? It sounds like new Motley Crue.
No, we did listen to it on the air, on the episode. No,
we listened to like part of it, though. I
like
heard the whole thing.
It sounds like
a new rock, new metal.
It sounds like Motley Crue just like, all right, we'll put out a song. Yeah. Fuck.
We were just trying to.
Sex. Perfect. Let's do it. Yeah. We haven't done that one yet.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to compare if that one was better than the new Kiss song.
The new Kiss song is fucking horrible. I'm sorry. I can't handle it.
You get tricked, though, by like the riffs and stuff, but obviously the lyrics are cheese.
Yeah, but then it turns into a Poison song. Yeah. It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I love Kiss, but that is just...
Paul Stanley ruins Kiss anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know it's Kiss when you hear it, though. When
the clown from Death Clock, you mean?
Yeah.
God, I'm a rock and roll clown!
When he's got that...
Dr. Rock's.
Yeah. I do cocaine. But he's got that thing that's like open in the front that goes way down in like a U, and it's just fat.
It's just
hair.
Fat and hair.
And it's just all. Yeah. It looks like a Will Ferrell, like there should be a big gallbladder scar across, but it's just a roll of fat.
And he's just got this little Rolo down in the bottom where there's nothing going on.
I'm glad Paul Stanley doesn't listen to our show, because then we'd be talking shit about him.
He's going to listen one of these days.
Yeah, his mom just passed away, so sorry about that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Paul.
Way to fucking ruin all those jokes. Like, now I feel like an asshole. I hate the new Kiss record. By the way, Paul Stanley's mom's dead. I'm going to be a dickhead. Thanks, Terry. Thanks for telling me that now.
So rest in peace. Yeah. Sorry that your son's band sucks so bad.
I would say, that I think the new ZZ Top songs that I've heard are better than both those.
I like the new ZZ Top. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. That's actually pretty good.
Lighters on my dress.
I don't get the whole 25 lighters.
I don't either.
That song
I think it's like
me out.
He's a
crackhead. What is that? Is he trying to say he smokes so much cigarettes or bud or
maybe
crack?
Well, I'm thinking like he's...
Cooking meth?
Did he spend so much money on these 25 lighters that now he's got to get paid?
Yeah, does it represent like crack bags that he's selling?
I don't know. Like, did you listen to all the words of the song? It doesn't have 25 of everything in that song?
Yeah.
He keeps saying 25. 20,
I think he was fucking high and he just...
Let's write a song with 25.
He's like, 25's how I'm in a finger. I had 25 fingers. Let's make a song with 25 fives and a finger. Like,
I got 25...
KFC chickens.
In my beard.
See, because of that one song that Sons had where Nuva, you know, remember the original lyrics are just, baby, 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 baby.
Yeah,
and I was like, dude,
baby,
that just
baby,
sounds
baby,
good. Let's
baby,
just
baby,
keep
baby,
it like
baby,
that.
Baby, baby,
sometimes
baby.
You gotta go
that's
simple.
What they did.
Yeah.
I got 25 babies in my dresser.
And I got to get paid.
Yeah, I don't
you
know.
You would have to then.
I mean, have you heard the new Kid Rock? Song?
Thank God I have not.
Jesus.
You work in radio, so you're subject to that. You probably
I hope my label people aren't listening, because they're going to be like, all you do is talk shit about our bands. Yeah, because your bands are shitty. Sorry. Like, you're a good person. I know you're doing your job, but come on. You can't look at me in the eyes and tell me the new Kid Rock song is awesome, because it's not. He's like pandering to the soldiers. Okay, have you heard it?
No.
Oh, my God. It came out today, so
America?
I'm going to rant on it. Yeah, it's pretty much like God Bless Guns or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's something so cliche. And the picture that they send with the promo, you know, they send you email and like, download the new Kid Rock off the Rebel Soul or whatever the fuck
is this
called.
Like,
you know?
Is this like a Republican rock thing?
Oh, it totally is. This is like he's like the Republican rocker now. You
this
know?
Is a new thing that we've been seeing, right, with bands that have coming out.
Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's another one. He's on the same label, Roadrunner. Like they're all doing this country thing.
Roadrunner.
Yeah. Well,
Roadrunner used to be Deicide. And
it still is, but not
is
really.
Is Mustaine getting very politically involved these days?
Dude, he hasn't said anything in a long time, but he is off the fucking rocker, too. Like, it's all conspiracy theory stuff, but it's like, you know, he's out of control.
You'd think that
you
he smokes
I mean?
A lot of weed or
he puts out fucking 20 years of albums peace sells, but who's buying? Fucking, you know.
And then goes against and then, everything and then, that he stood
yeah,
for.
Yeah, and then he supports the system that he's railing against the whole time. He's like, you know, the government's evil, and they covered up aliens, and they're killing everybody, and there's a war industry going on, and totally, all this shit's going on.
He's pulling a Kirk Cameron.
But check it out. The Republicans are fucking cool. What the hell is that about? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, he's a Christian now, right?
Yeah. God, yeah, that's part of it.
He pulled
you know?
A Kirk Cameron and went all nuts.
And that's, I don't understand the whole, like, why Christianity and Republicans? It doesn't make any sense. Like, because they're against abortion? Is that what it comes down to? Because that's all I can see
I think
it relates to,
I
like,
think
the two.
It's because they like to prey on the values of, you know,
that's,
saying.
That's a nice pun, by the way.
They just, you know, like to pray.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. They like. Yeah,
because the Republicans prey on the people
easily,
and the Christians pray
go,
to the gods.
Yeah, we love your values. We share your values. Vote for us.
Yeah,
that's silly. It's absolutely silly. It doesn't make any sense. You know, I
don't even
lost
get me started.
I'm all like worked
we were
up over like
about
Republican rock.
What
and
the
sad.
Picture looked like of Kid Rock's press release. What,
oh yeah, it was
a,
it, no, it was a military chopper.
Oh,
right. And the song's talking about IEDs and shit. Like it's all like patriotic about it.
In
and
a
I'm
uterary
just,
device.
And the IEDs, you know the
bombs.
Blow-ups,
yeah.
The bombs, the
yeah.
Blow-ups. Jesus, I sound like a fourth fucking grader. Jesus Christ. No, but it's like. Wait till you hear it. I mean, look it up when it's probably out there on YouTube tonight. But
yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous because it's he's singing like it's like a like praising the you know dealing
the
with the IEDs and it's like, dude, you're not a soldier first of all.
Yeah.
So why are you like so adamantly stoked on this?
Because I went and performed for the troops of USO.
Right, it's so ridiculous.
I'm from Detroit, bitch.
Yeah, I'm from Detroit. So
dude,
I understand.
Do you think he ever goes to American Jewelry and Loan? Over
he
there
has
for,
to.
Yeah,
yeah.
He
well,
probably pawned some of
my
his
buddy
shit.
Tanner lives there now.
Yeah,
and he Kid Rock does wander around. I mean, people know him.
You think he like Snoop Lion changed his name? You think Kid Rock should rediscover himself and become Kid Rock Paper Scissors?
Kid Scissors.
How about just yeah?
Just Kid Scissors.
Or maybe Kid Paper
Kid
since
scissors.
He's so gay now. How about just a Kid anything besides like Kid Country?
He should. I
wish he would
be more at, you know, that's
kind
false
of went Southern Rock after the All-American Badass.
He needs to go back to his, like, Vanilla Ice era. You know, the original Kid Rock, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
No, see, like, he could DJ, like, he could cut and scratch and do all this fucking crazy DJ shit that, like, is amazing. And he's just completely abandoned and he's like, I'm a country boy from Detroit. It doesn't make any sense, first of all. It's obviously you're trying to market to a specific audience. You're trying to go to the Walmart crowd and go, I'm your boy, listen to my shit. You'll sell records instead of fucking.
Well, he's got the cowboy hat going on. He's always liked the cowboy hat.
But I think he should just go back to the fucking turntables. And like he mixes like Sad But True with like Run DMC. It's fucking cool.
Yeah, and that takes some talent and some whatever.
Cocaine.
Yeah, lots of coke. And you have to have a mind that's thinking creatively to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, when you're doing what he's doing, which is just for a lot of money and have more money and more money and more sales, he's pandering, like you said, and it's just like mindless.
He doesn't even have to think about it when he's doing it. I don't know if this happens, but from my experience, it just feels like, you know, all the labels, you know, they're part of this. They're part of it. They know what's going to sell. They're doing research. They're doing, you know, all this investigations on America and how it's done. And then I can just see these, you know, these label types getting in the room with the artists and go, okay, so here's what you got to do. Based on the research we had Greg do the last couple weeks, you need to pander to Walmart people, all right? And that means 90% of the population. And here's the shit they're into. And they fire off all of the stupid, garbagey bullshit that people are interested in. And then they have
available only
that
at
person.
Walmart.
Yeah, and then they have that person. You know, whatever artist it is, say it's Kid Rock, go into the room with whoever the fuck is writing the record,
right.
You know, and telling him what to write about. And then he just does it and fucking sucks Satan's dick and fucking everybody eats it up and he's rich again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it's the researchers that make that. It's the researchers that give themselves jobs and proclaim that they're experts and then take these polls that find where to point the marketing. You know, and take that to the corporations.
It's
corporate thinking in.
And it's no surprise that all these bands like Nickelback and Theory of a Dead Man and Shinedown and Seether, they all have like country songs. You know what I mean? Like they're all like country rock.
We're gonna do a Skinner tune.
Yeah, it's like they're all doing the same thing. That's not fucking a random situation. Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what bothers me. It's like it's group thinking, and there's nobody creative. You know, we talked about Frank Zappa
and kind of that shit.
You know, Frank Zappa could give a flying fuck about that whole thing.
Yeah,
he just made music. Where is that? Yeah. Where is the musicians anymore? You know, that's what I want to see come back.
I think they get kind of lost in the internet because there's so much and there's so much overwhelming.
Yeah.
You couldn't find them.
That's the biggest problem. You know, back in the day when we were growing up, we had MTV, which in radio and whatever. Yeah. And that was where you got your shit. If you didn't have that, you didn't get your shit. You didn't know where it came from. You didn't know what it was.
And
there was
an old guy like me, even farther back, I didn't even have MTV as a teenager because I lived in a small town and the cable didn't go that far, whatever you want to say. And so I had to rely on like Circus Magazine and Kerrang!
And
Hit Parader. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zine, and underground zines like ones from Portland,
and you had to have a cool friend that knew shit,
and you would actually do the tape trading and trading of flyers of other bands that you'd never heard of, and you'd send someone a tape, and they'd send you a tape, and it'd have like six new bands you'd never heard of from the underground, and that was kind of the internet of that day.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
There was no way to find out who these bands were, or let alone know when all the concerts
the
were coming.
Was underground,
and that's what's cool about today is the internet is that
instant
scene.
Gratification. Yeah.
But at the same time, the double-edged sword of having the availability. Like, it's who did I talk to? I interviewed. I can't remember. It was some the guy from Mudvayne, the singer of Mudvayne, Chad Gray. Yep. He was telling me, he's like, you know, look, everybody and their mother has gear now. You can go to Guitar Center and spend $500 and have a home studio. Look, we have a studio right here in your living room. You know, it's like a real studio.
Everything's
it's all here and it's available. So everybody is putting out a freaking album. Everybody's in a band.
Yeah.
Look around. Everybody, you know, there's so many bands.
It's ridiculous.
And it's just, you can't get through all of it. There's too much of it. So
you can't,
you can only
have to rely on word of mouth,
and hearing it yourself and seeing it yourself and kind of just like, it's become really cult like, and it's cool, but it's kind of shitty at the same time.
I mean, it's bands you stumble across, like, say, you're looking for something else on the internet, and you find, what's this band? And then you happen to like them, and you're like, whoa. But there's how many millions of other bands that you could have stumbled across but didn't that you'll never, ever hear that you love? I mean, the next favorite band of yours could be practicing in a garage somewhere that you'll never hear them.
Yeah. And you almost need that tape trading, swapping of music and bands going on between scenes.
Well, that's kind of what Reverb Nation has kind of tried to do. It seems like that's because I mean, they got their chart with the 10 most popular bands of the which is totally corrupt, by the way. You know how to trick that shit, right?
I don't, but I knew that.
All you got to do is just add friends. It's such a scam to like boost hits to itself. Mm-hmm. Like it's a self-fulfilling website, and once you get the people tricked into doing it, the work for you, which is to add traffic to your website, and I'm a web director, so my job is to get more people to come to your goddamn website.
Exactly.
So what did Reverb Nation do? They figured out how to get people to do that for them.
Mm-hmm.
The bands.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's
so
the,
it's
that's
tape
the
trading.
Ultimate.
It's brilliant.
And
I wish
sad,
I thought of it.
It's sad and funny at the same time where a lot of bands really take that to heart. Like, we're number one in our area.
Totally.
It's basic multi-level marketing, though, right? Like, almost pyramid scheme-ish.
It is. You know? It's absolutely pyramid scheme. And they cut you a little bit, if you notice.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have Reverb Nation pages, so you get, like, 8 cents.
5 cents,
you know, it's like, oh, sweet.
I made money from people coming to my page.
Yeah, dude. And you have all these other people that you know aren't real people, like, just checked out your shit. It's cool.
Yeah.
I'll be back. Come check out my shit, by the way. Come check out my shit. I swear to God, you need to see my shit.
You see a lot of those, I just friended you. You should friend me.
Yeah, because that's the scheme. That's the pyramid scheme. Like,
even
it's
on Facebook,
game.
It's like, I just liked your page. You should come and like ours.
Right.
And like, I don't even like that kind of music. Why am I going to like it? You don't like me. A like doesn't matter. It's like MySpace. People used to take their players and they'd have 20,000 friends.
And they'd throw it
and
up
they'd
on
put
their...
it in the bulletin.
Yeah.
And everybody would open it because it would say, my titties are bigger than yours, or whatever,
and
they go, oh, what's that? That's a play. That's a play. And then we had 3,500 plays today. Not really.
No, you didn't.
Because I have a, you know, a semi-popular football site that gets pretty good hits, so I always get link exchange requests via email, and it'll be, you know, we think our websites are so similar and everything, and then you get down to the bottom and it's flowers.com or something like that, not even related.
Is that your Office Pools thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Printable office pools for all sports right. fans.
But it's what's funny are some of the bands that when they're like number one on the charts on Reverb Nation.
Yeah.
You've never played a show before.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I know that. You're number one. That's interesting. Yep. I'm not going to name names.
We know.
go to the site and see for themselves.
Well, yeah,
we know who we're talking about.
The hits.
So do you have any questions? We usually, when we have a guest on the show, we do a little interviewing. And you've had a lot of experience in talking with, like, famous people and interviewing people. You got anything? Usually I let Dustin go first because he usually has some funny questions as well as some.
Tell me
ones.
About your favorite meal.
Yeah. Have you ever owned a horse?
Yeah. Do you think a penguin could hold a switchblade?
Fucking A, it could.
Like, do you think it's more dangerous, like, in a fight with a switchblade, right? You think it, you could
a penguin
one?
With a switchblade? I could fuck a penguin up with it. I don't care what they're holding.
All right.
Because there's no way they have enough strength in the wing. Like
what
that little pathetic wing.
Yeah. What are they, two feet tall?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just
are
little.
They two
it's
feet
like a,
tall, though? I thought they were taller
no,
than
they're,
that.
No, they're like short and, I don't know. And they can't run very well.
And they're
going to slide at you.
So they're monogamous. They're stupid.
Now, wait, are we in Antarctica or are we in Eugene? Because that changes everything.
A Eugene penguin will fuck you up.
Dude, I will roundhouse kick its head off.
All right,
if we're in
talking,
Eugene.
We're talking Eugene, but it's an extremely cold winter day, talking like negative 15.
Oh, so is there ice?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm fucking terrified. Yeah. That thing can fly at me.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen them. They get on their stomach and...
He's got a switchblade.
Dude,
like,
he just
right
holds
there,
it out towards
it
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just slides right into my knee and blows it out.
That reminds me. I was just playing this, probably stupid, but we got a new Wii game.
Yeah.
And it's the Mario Kart from the old Nintendo 64. Yeah. And it comes with a little steering wheel that you put the thing in there.
I played it. Yeah, that's a cool game.
And it's got those penguins. And they dive and they slide on the ice to block you going through the cave.
That's what I'm saying.
And I didn't know that was a real thing. I thought that was like a video game thing.
No, that's they're dangerous motherfuckers.
Yeah, they are.
So like, penguins.
They are.
It's like a power slide.
And they're like 500-600 pounds, man. That thing hits you.
What?
Yeah.
A penguin's 500 pounds?
Dude, from the Penguin's Tale show that I seen and all the shit you see on Discovery Channel.
I thought they were little guys.
No way. Those things are like 4 feet tall.
Really?
I think.
Informative podcast.
I mean, I feel like getting to the Google machine and finding out.
Is this conjecture?
Now let's test the Google thinking because Apple has Siri.
All right.
Objection,
How
Your Honor. That's conjecture.
Is a penguin?
Your mom.
Let's see if it figured it out.
All right. Well, while he's looking for that information, we'll
did you see that mermaid show that found a mermaid?
Holy fuck! They can grow 6 feet tall.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
Emperor penguins are the tallest, standing at 4 feet tall.
Wow.
What would one of those weigh at that point? What if one was like
shit? I don't know.
What if one was like 6 feet, but he was only like 100 pounds? He was like a scrawny penguin.
He'd be all skinny.
Yeah. He wouldn't stay very warm, though. He'd probably freeze.
He's probably a homeless, cracked-out penguin.
Can you imagine? There probably are, right? They're like...
Well, they don't have to worry about staying warm.
Their igloo has holes in it.
Well, so now we've determined that a four-foot penguin with a switchblade might be a little more intimidating than
in
we
the
thought
ice.
At the first... Right. But how about that? You got any more penguin questions?
No, I just had the one. Did you see that they discovered mermaids? Did you watch that documentary?
That's bullshit.
Do you think it's bullshit? That's
fucking
what I was gonna
bullshit.
See. What about the whole sonar and the Navy, like the whole beaching of the whales, though, right? I mean, that's
and wasn't it called mer people because there's also
merfolk is what they're
merfolk.
Typically like.
That's
the
hard
fantasy.
To say.
That's the fantasy,
wow.
Like
merfolk.
I mean, wait, was there a TV show on this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I saw there was a story about it, and I was like, this
well,
is dope.
It was kind of like
was
partially, some of it was, you know, made up, but some of it was fact, kind of.
There you go.
That's bullshit.
That's called bullshit.
What, like the Bible?
Yeah, but
dude,
it was still interesting.
Real.
It
was parts of it was true, but parts of it was
Noah?
Made up.
Dude, because Noah got all that shit on the boat, all right? Yeah. Every one of those creatures.
Who was the comedian I heard that
Which
said,
one's,
if
he
that was
he
real...
He didn't get a unicorn on, though, right?
I wish I could remember so I could give him credit. Maybe I'll remember before that. I can't remember his name, but a comedian I heard saying if it was Noah... Oh, maybe it was Andy Bradwin.
Uh-huh.
He said that if Noah's Ark was real, when they got done... there would have just been two really fat tigers walking off of that boat. Because a tiger would be fucking eating everything.
Yeah.
It's like Lord of the...
That is true.
Lord of the Jungle. The fucking lion.
Unless the penguins had a switchblade.
That's how they kept the tigers in line.
Exactly. Okay, what else do you got?
It is written.
Go ahead.
You don't got nothing else?
Where are the Jello shots? I thought there was going to be Jello shots.
You thought there were going to be Jello shots here? We got a deli tray. Forget the deli tray, guys.
What are some 80s? What are some What are some 80s like second shelf bands? That you would pay to go and see locally, like a $10 to $20
Faster Pussycat?
Ticket. Yeah, that's exactly the kind of show I'm talking about.
Exactly, second
in
shelf.
In that vein, right? You know,
I read something
you would want to see come to town.
Well, before I answer, I just want to point out a post that I saw on Facebook about Faster Pussycat,
uh-huh.
which is hysterical. Since we're talking shit about bands,
my job's gonna
be over tomorrow. All my contacts stop talking to me entirely. They hear this podcast, I'm like, you know what? That guy's fucking done. All the promoters, they're fucking finished with me.
We'll put a disclaimer at the beginning.
Yeah.
What you're about to hear is completely fictitious.
Completely fictitious.
It was all written by our writers.
It was written months ago.
Yes.
Real or fictitious.
The Faster Pussycat post that I saw, and I don't want to name drop who did, because that they might get mad. But it was like, I remember seeing Faster Pussycat back in the 80s, and they had these fucking gorgeous whores and blah, 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 blah. And they had all these people flying at them. And,
gorgeous whores.
And now I saw them walk out of the bar with a 50-year-old wench, and no one cared. And I was like, that's badass. But they're 50 years old. Well, yeah, they're chewed up. I mean, let's face it. Faster
Tie
Pussycat.
Me Down? Yeah. Isn't that the singer?
Yeah. What's the song, Faster Pussycat?
I don't even know.
House of Pain.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's right. Okay, so washed up 80s band that I would like to see, that I would pay to see, or that I would go to see.
No, that you would lay down.
Shell out
money.
Real money.
$10, $15
I haven't done that in a long time.
I know, neither have I.
He works at
a radio station. That's why
I'm
throwing
passes.
Down, you know, like.
I couldn't think of
it. Do they have to be alive?
Well,
yeah.
I guess
so. Because I was going to say Warrant.
Yeah.
You know,
they got Jamie St. James from
I think
that's
like Y&T is still touring. George Lynch, I think, is still playing, right?
The Lynch Mob?
What about Dokken? Is that motherfucker still playing?
I think he might be. Would you throw $15 to go and see Dokken?
Fuck no.
What about Cinderella?
Absolutely, there you go.
But do you think
Cinderella was
like
an exception?
B+ though.
Yeah, they were A-, really, because look, they weren't. They didn't fall into any of the shitty, obviously cheesy gaps.
Trickster,
you know,
kicks.
Like Trickster, and like they had a bunch of good songs. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
I agree.
What about Great White?
Nope. Not in its present incarnation. If they brought Jack Russell back,
Tesla.
Absolutely. Yep. Love Tesla. Yeah, I interviewed Frank Hannon.
I think they'd be A-.
He was cool
though.
As shit.
That was his birthday on Wednesday. Ticket. We just gave him a shout out because
Frank
a buddy
Hannon.
Of mine knows Frank, and he's a real nice guy from what I've heard.
Dude, Frank is a tremendous... Tesla is a great band. They were another one of those bands that kind of made it through.
Yeah.
I would say they're more A-. Though.
And it's funny that I just mentioned those two bands, and the first one you said no, second one Tesla, yes. I saw Great White and Tesla back in like 87.
Old Great White. Yeah. Dude, with Jack Russell.
We were talking also
about... Before the fire and all that.
Before they killed him.
You're talking about like bands that you would pay for that, but they're sadly not on that second shelf yet, like Motley Crue, where they're still demanding $70 a ticket.
That's where I wish that they were.
They were good, though. I saw them. I saw them, New York Dolls, and Poison. Poison.
Back in the day, though?
No. Like last summer.
New York Dolls?
Yeah. New York. That's why I wanted to see it. I went with a friend of mine, and we New York Dolls opened, Poison, and Motley Crue. Motley Crue kicked ass. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've seen them like four times. They're awesome still. They're still rocking.
Vince Neil still sings good live?
No, he is terrible.
He's done by
the second song.
Okay.
It's so funny.
That's what I thought.
He's fat and winded. Yeah. He hates his life. The rest of the band, really good.
Yeah.
Mick Mars, fucking A.
Yeah.
Poison was horrible. Absolutely horrible. CC DeVille was amazing on guitar. I won't talk shit.
Brett Michaels
has a totally fake grill though. He's got dentures. Like that's a fake piece in his mouth.
Yeah.
Brett Michaels is cheesy as shit.
Yeah.
And he had
I think
the
TV
flu.
Ruined him.
Yeah. He
and
can't
diabetes
get past
or whatever he has.
You can't get past the stupid cheesy
Rock
bandana
of love,
thing. But Ricky Rocket was the worst drummer I've ever seen.
Really?
Oh my god.
I wonder if he was always bad.
He had a keyboard player standing on the side of the stage playing the cowbell parts. And playing other drum parts. Poison had the nuts to give him a drum solo. And it was like watching your grandma shit all over her house. Like, it was fucking stupid.
I've done that.
I was just doing that the other day. That took a long time to clean it up.
Okay,
Keith.
If I may, like,
Skid Row.
If I may.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With Sebastian.
Yeah.
Saw
him again, I think they would be A-minus draw, though, I think.
Yeah, with think, Sebastian.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. What about alternative?
Oh.
Like, is there bands from, like, maybe early 90s alternative that would let you could get for
Mudhoney?
10 to 20?
I would love to see them again.
Oh,
now,
man, me too,
we were just
sure.
talking about that. He approached
sure.
their management
I did.
And
yeah.
asked them about playing
in
Eugene.
I saw
that. Yeah, I did. They
Dude.
Were,
they said no door deal.
Oh.
They yeah, said they get, I offered them the whole thing, but again, even at the Well Hall, I mean, that's not really that much.
I don't
much
think there's a big enough
they just
Mudhoney
want
fan.
Guarantee.
They said they usually
they
get
just
3
want an offer.
000.
They want a solid offer.
That's not bad.
No.
I think they want a solid offer.
Yeah.
If you could say $5,000 for Mudhoney?
If you could say I'll give you $3,000 guaranteed, they'd probably do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's so close.
But could you get that many Mudhoney fans in the Wow Hall or somewhere in Eugene? I don't know if there's that many.
Well, maybe not even Mudhoney, but like bands of that stature.
Is that
knowing
what
that
that's
what they're asking,
after,
you
yeah.
know, like
yeah.
shit, if that's all they're asking.
You think Soundgarden?
And it's West,
no, they just
it's
West Coast. They have a new album out.
So they're
oh,
gonna
yeah.
be
dude. They're
Soundgarden
huge.
Would be
they're,
yeah.
They were making a comeback
because
right
of
it
Audio
would be Guns
Slave
N' Roses money.
Dude,
Chris's longevity
yeah.
with his solo
absolutely.
Career.
Absolutely,
Soundgarden
would
be five
huge.
Digit.
Absolutely,
5 digits.
Absolutely,
yeah.
They're doing a reunion tour.
Wow,
they have King Animal coming out.
Yeah.
I'm stoked. I've been playing the new
I heard
song.
The one, I heard the one new song, not bad.
Yeah. Well,
did
you hear the new
even...
song?
No, but a couple months ago.
No, this is a new one.
Okay.
I like Down on the Upside. I didn't really care for Super Unknown. I thought it was, you know, it got over.
I saw them on Down on the Upside, too. It was good.
But, you know.
They were the first band I ever saw live.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Opened for Guns N' Roses in Florida in 1993, Use Your Illusion Tour.
Wow.
And I hated them.
Yeah.
I thought they were terrible.
Was that the bad motor finger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his voice just was off and like, yeah. I wasn't prepared for that. And I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Get him out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then later I was like,
those guys are good.
I guess that's Soundgarden. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw them with a weird band called Rocket from the Crypt.
Oh, yeah.
And those guys, they have a horn
That
section.
Was the Salem show.
Yep.
That was their last tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's on their new live album.
Were you there?
Yeah.
I was there too.
I was there.
I was wondering, cause I knew you were from Florida, but did you move here as a teenager? You actually went
yeah.
to Sheldon High for a while?
Yeah. I moved here when I was 15, from Florida with my family. My dad got a job here and
uh-huh.
came out here.
Right.
And then,
And you
yeah.
went to U of O here? Or?
Yeah, I graduated from the U of O.
Journalism. Yeah.
Business, and yeah.
And did you work at any other radio stations besides KRVM before KFLY?
Yeah, I did KRVM first, and then I did KWVA. I was a music director on campus, and then...
Oh, that's a...
88.1.
Oh, and that's...
U of O.
Oh, U of O, okay.
And then, in between that and KRVM, I worked at Cumulus for 2 years doing graveyard shift. That was brutal.
Just playing songs?
No, I was babysitting automated radio stations,
oh.
like talk stations and stuff.
Yeah.
I was listening to like fucking Coast to Coast, you know, and they're Jeff Renz talking about fucking ghosts and shit. And it's 3 a.m. I'm scared
yeah.
shitless, and I'm like, I gotta go get the news soon. Fuck, gotta get the feed.
Art
man.
Bell's coming.
Yeah,
on.
Art Bell's coming on talking about the end of the world about every night. And I'm like, fucking, can I just hear some Tool, please? Bring my music in. I'd be drunk. I hated that job. And then I did. What else did I do? Fuck. That's pretty much it for radio. And then
until
I did
you got
TV.
Into.
I wrote for Metal Edge. Well, I was back end. I was video editing.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I did that at KZI. What else did I do? I wrote for Metal Edge for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
And then it was, 2004 or 5 when you started the K-Fly thing?
Yeah, I graduated in 04 from U of O, and then I got the job at K-Fly. It was funny because I used to get made fun of on the radio for, like, I'm going to Japan! Because I was. Like, before I got the job at K-Fly,
What's
I had
funny about
an
that?
Interview in San Francisco to teach English in Japan. And I had broken up with this girl, and I was homeless, you know. And I was just like, literally, it was miserable. I was like, fuck the States. I'm done with this
I'm
shit.
Going to Japan.
I'm going to Japan. Fuck yeah, they got sushi and hot little chicks that like white guys. Awesome.
And
so,
those toilets that'll like
yeah,
squirt water.
Yeah, and you can
butt.
Just shit standing up. It's
yeah.
awesome. You know? And they got panty vending machines. I mean, how do you not like
yeah.
that? So it was either that, and then
did
I got
you go?
Oh, no, I fucking decided
saved.
To
go to K-Fly.
Go to K-Fly. What an idiot.
Why? You don't like... You're really getting fired now.
No. Yeah, I know. I've just burned every bridge.
Luckily, those idiots don't listen to our show.
No one's going to get through this one.
Yeah.
They're going to get 2 minutes in and be like, yeah, that's cool. What
those
else?
Guys are idiots, man.
Isn't Ancient Aliens on?
And other than that, I guess the other questions were... just about bands. We have Guns, the first actual band around here that you played in?
I used to play in all kinds of shit.
Really? I know everybody has their bands, and a lot of times you can be in bands in the same general area and not know about other people's bands.
Dude, I played all kinds of stuff.
Jared Nelson will know about them, though.
See, it was kind of weird, I thought, because I'd been in bands a lot over the years, and you had been in bands, but we didn't really meet until you were the dude from Local Licks,
yeah,
and then
K-Fly.
You were coming to the shows. And, yeah. So I was just wondering, local bands from the Eugene area that you were in?
My first band ever was Hive. I started this band called Hive. And it was like, I was in high school, and it was like Nirvana style, Tool, Floater, you know, like it was all that. And it was a trio, and it started out just like heavy punk, thrash kind of stuff. And then it started to branch out into like trippy, you know, we started doing drugs. You know?
Cool.
So the shit changed, you know. Yeah. And we just end up playing all day long, just jamming, you know. So it started to go that direction. Then we started adding instruments, and that's when I got into Zappa, and I started fucking taking all that shit in. I started doing music theory. I went to school, and I was learning all this stuff. And then I started to get into jazz. And I ended up, you know, kind of getting away from rock entirely, and I started playing jazz stuff.
Weird.
And yeah, and it was so weird because I don't know how to play jazz, and I still don't, but I can fake it, you know. You tell me what key it's in, but I can fuck around and get there, you know, and make it work. And so I was doing that, and then I started playing world music and doing like,
that's pretty impressive.
Acoustic shit, and like I got into like Khaki King and like tapping and, you know, Stanley Clark and all kinds of that kind of stuff.
Right. And so guitar was always your primary instrument?
Yeah, guitar and bass. I used to play I had a 5-string fretless that I used to play. And so I did a bunch of that stuff. And then I got back into playing like harder rock again. Mm-hmm. Like I started playing in this band. I worked at Lights Music Center for a while. And Francois, this kid I went to high school with, was a bass player. And he was fucking awesome. He was just like, he was this little tiny guy. And he just... like it was unreal the sound he got out of his bass. And so he was like, let's start a band. And I was like, fuck yeah. And so we started a band, got the singer, and then it got this electronic drummer. It was just kind of weird at first, but it worked. It was cool. And we had this sound guy. This was like Slipknot, Godsmack was coming out and all Disturbed. So everybody was doing that kind of heavy metal. And so that's what this was kind of like, but it was more like Helmet. Like more punky, like I wanted.
So
to
this
be,
is late '90s, early 2000s.
This is like early 2000s.
Early 2000s,
because I'd been doing all this other stuff, you know.
Okay.
And then after that, that fell through, and it was funny because it was the singer and the drummer were fucking each other's stripper girlfriends.
Awesome.
And
that helps.
And they were fighting each other.
For band
and,
morale.
And smoking crack at practice.
Nice.
It was the first time I seen anybody smoke out of a light bulb, and I was like, why are you doing that? That doesn't, oh God, okay.
I remember seeing anybody smoke weed.
Now.
Oh wait, that's not
weed. It smells like purple shit.
Oh man. I heard a story of somebody that had practiced with somebody for a few weeks, and he'd always just chug down the water at practice all the time. And then one time he left a bottle of water there. The guy poured
vodka.
It out, and it was vodka. He just pounded down
that's
like liter
trick.
Bottles of
total
vodka.
Total Mr. Leahy off Trailer Park Boys.
We do that at K-Fly.
He's like, let me have a drink of your water there, Jimmy. He's like, you're clean, huh? That's fucking vodka. Or like on the Cheech and Chong one where they're, that video for the
what
song.
What would you recommend to somebody that's not really into jazz as something to start with or that would, you know, your...
Mahavishnu Orchestra.
Yeah.
Dude, they're like John McLaughlin, Miles Davis, Electric Era, Bitches Brew, fucking incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard some Miles Davis. I enjoyed it. It's
yeah,
really...
Miles Davis and John McLaughlin. He played guitar, and the
is
shit he did
like
on Bitches
Brew. Ireland or something.
I think
or
he's
over...
British. I think he's in England.
I think I might have heard some of his stuff too.
Yeah,
as well.
He started Mahavishnu Orchestra. They had a violinist, Jean-Luc Ponty.
Yeah, I was going to say the Mahavishnu has a lot to do with Zappa.
Totally, totally. And that would be where I'd go into it if you've never heard jazz and you think it's just like...
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, jazz is so...
It's very specific. Yeah.
And it's overwhelming because there's so much of it out there, you know? I mean, you don't want to just dive right in randomly.
If you don't know what you're doing, you could you could walk into the worst part of the neighborhood, if you will.
Exactly, right?
Well, I don't understand.
You could get a drive-by jazz.
And what would be your equivalent of the worst part of the neighborhood for jazz?
Kenny G would come through and ruin your life.
He would shoot.
But that's not like
darts.
The seedy part of town. That's like the shitty upscale part of town.
See, that's the difference with jazz. It's the other way.
What about like Charles Mingus?
So it'd be like
no, but that's a good part of neighborhood. You want to hang out in Mingus's town.
All right, you're talking about Kenny G when he played with Big Daddy Kane or something.
Yeah, smooth jazz. Just that fucking horrible noise.
I wonder how Kenny G feels at the legacy that he's created, you know, like to where they make fun of him on Saturday Night Live as a saxophonist on What's Up With That.
What's Up With That? Is Yanni jazz?
Yanni is, is technically it's like easy listening or
easy world music.
I don't know. It's terrible.
Yeah. I've never really listened
bedtime
to it.
At least he has a good mustache.
Not anymore. He shaved it.
Oh, shit.
What?
Yeah, he played at the Cuthbert like last summer.
Did you go?
Wow. No, I was going to. Was going to.
You had to be
like
tickets.
Just like right like towards like that epiphany moment in the set where he's just like fucking like his ego is so intense and he's just get in, girl, or whatever. Just be like, bullshit, and then walk out.
And then everybody turns around and looks at you.
And get up and flip him off and just be that guy.
And you could always tell your friends, well, I just had to write a review for the website. It's the only reason I win. I'm getting paid to watch Yanni, okay?
That and I jacked off in the bathroom.
Exactly. Always had a big crush on his mullet.
Yeah, I have to overhand strike it to Yanni.
Overhand strike it. There's
I just
a new
brought
term.
Quality yeah. to your.
That's right.
Tagcast, by the way.
I like the overhand strike.
If you start making money, I want some.
I've never heard that.
Parts
before.
Of that. Overhand strike. You never fucking.
Well, I've done
like
it,
that?
But yeah. I've never heard that
it's usually
term.
Usually a shower move.
Yeah. Or if you're really drunk and you're just wanting to pretend like it's someone else.
Yeah. That's
now
from
I'm
a stranger.
I'm getting a handy from a stranger.
That's when you sit on your hand for 14 minutes.
Yeah.
And you then, use your left hand.
And, yeah.
Backwards.
And then overhand strike it with the other hand.
I learned that from Henry Rollins. Speaking of Henry Rollins, you got to do an interview with him recently, didn't you?
Yeah,
just
was
a phone interview.
It was. Just
I didn't
a
get
phone
to hear
one.
It.
It was. It's on YouTube. You
cool.
Can check it out.
I bet that went probably about as not viral, but I remember when you did the Maynard interview.
Oh God,
that ended up everywhere, dude.
That
was awesome.
Mouth. That's
was
why.
That just because it's Maynard?
Probably
because it's you.
It's totally me.
They're like Carl.
They're like
boom, boom, boom,
is
boom.
Is that Carl
boom.
Talking to a human being? I didn't hear that.
Isn't that the guy that used to write for Metal Edge magazine?
No, I see because I get notifications when I get comments, you know, like and so
what's your notification sound?
I just it's like, hey, dude, check it out.
Mine's all
must check now.
But I get nervous, you know, when you get a because it comes in your email and you see an email and you're like,
oh,
hey, another comment on YouTube, and I'm like.
Oh, do I want to?
Don't ruin my whole mind.
Good,
because you could have one comment just shatter you. You know, like people are good at trolling out.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I try to do it sometimes. That people I don't like, you know, just leave some snotty on their page just to see how they react.
We
like,
get
I
a couple. There's a.
But I hate getting comments.
Yeah, there's a Sons of Confusion video from the Wow Hall where we played a Kaya song and some people from other countries who can't really speak very good English. They said, "You guys sucks." They were like. Kaius rules, you guys sucks.
Maybe it was Dan Aykroyd and Steve Martin.
Yeah. Hey, you guys was a Svitzgard, I think, from Metalocalypse. Death
nice.
You guys sucks. He played songs bad.
Yeah, no, Henry Rollins was a cool guy, though. Like, he's one of those kind of guys
stuff.
That you would love to, like, be on a plane ride next to the dude because you could have conversations about anything.
He's got
and it would
so
be
many
awesome.
Stories, yeah.
Like, and the, what he how he talks about shit, you know. One of the things I asked him that I didn't put
passionate
in the
about
main
his
interview
subjects.
Was like, dude, you're a busy guy. How do you keep it all together? Like, what's the secret? What is there a secret to your shit? And he
hit the gym
like,
first thing in the morning.
No, he was just like, you know, look, you first of all, you got to plan everything. You got to have your shit lined up. And then if say you got four things to do in the day, take your time. Don't rush through them in the morning and just try to get them done.
Right.
Just know that you have to do them in the day and just pace yourself. And then you stay cool as a cucumber. You get it. He's like, I met Bill Clinton once. You would think that guy ain't doing shit. You'd think he'd doing nothing all day. He's so calm. He's doing 500 things a day. It's unbelievable. But he paces himself. And if you can't do it, just say you can't do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's brilliant.
That's a great way great outlook. I saw him do his spoken word, and it was over 3 hours. It was a long time ago.
It was McDonald's, wasn't it?
No, I missed that one. This was like back in 94.
Oh, okay.
Up at
God, he was doing it that long then.
Oh yeah.
Shit.
When he had a double CD came out and it had like a marquee on the front that said Henry Rollins spoken word. I can't remember the name of it, and it had him at like as a skeleton. But it was like a double disc set that came out in 93, 94.
Talking from the box?
Yes. Yes. Right. You are a smart man.
Yeah, yeah.
Smart Indian.
He didn't even use the Google for that. Yeah. That's good.
I saw
right off the top.
Yeah, Jello Biafra a few years after that, do about 5 or 6 hours, just all political fucking rambling
he
shit, man.
Gene did that.
I saw him do about.
He just sits there and he looks fucking all whippersnapper, you know. But,
he talks all whippersnapper.
But he'll just go and go and go. And, yeah, actually, I was like, man,
I saw
mind
him do,
overload, you know, after a while.
I saw him do it. Was better this way. I saw him do about 3 20-minute sets because he was the MC for this No On Nine rally concert with Helmet, Nirvana, Poison Idea, and Calamity Jane at the Portland Meadows.
Was he talking with his hands like?
Oh, he was, and he was
DK.
All, and it was a No On Nine, so he's,
he's
preaching about gay rights and everything else. And is that what he was doing when you saw him?
No, I saw a video of Dead Kennedys back in the day, and he had like these white
the weird
gloves
Iggy Pop snake,
and he was all pantomiming everything during the lyrics. He'd put the mic
he's
down.
He's got like a 4-disc live set.
Yeah,
that I
yeah.
used to play on the radio.
He's pretty amazing.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. He was one of those kids that probably couldn't sit still very long.
He was ADD before it was even diagnosable.
Yeah.
So out of all the people that you've interviewed in your radio career, what's your most memorable or favorite?
Oh, man.
And I don't know if it has to be phone or personal, like so many.
Right.
I mean, I know you did an interview with Braun from Mastodon, which must have been pretty cool.
Yeah. By the way, I got to point that out. Yeah, that was hilarious. You know, and here's why. I'll tell you a story about that interview.
Okay, good.
This is hilarious. So I had, you know, this is probably the third time I've interviewed the guy.
Right.
Like, in a very short amount of time. You've got to recognize me by now.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And here's the thing about that interview. I wasn't even going to interview him. I was supposed to interview the crazy guy, the beard. With
Brent.
Brent, yeah. They couldn't find him. They're like, yeah, he's drinking somewhere. We don't know where he's at. And
he's
so,
such a
and I prepared my entire interview to ask him specific questions. You know, and I didn't do any more research except for that.
Yeah.
I was prepared for him, not Brent or
Braun. Yeah.
Because I had already talked to that guy, and I specifically asked, because they asked me who I wanted to talk to, and I said, that guy.
The crazy guy.
Yeah. So, and the new album was a lot. He wrote it. And he got beaten up by the bass player for System of a Down.
Yeah, and he was in a coma.
And his brother died.
No,
Braun's sister died.
Yeah, well, a long time ago, wasn't it? Sky.
Yeah, but that album was about that, too.
Yeah, and also I read that Brent's brother also passed away during the recording of that.
I didn't
so
know
it was
that.
Even heavier.
Right.
And the songs were already written, so nothing. But So, yeah, it was a heavy thing. So you wanted to ask him about that.
So, yeah, I wanted to ask him all these things.
And they dicked you.
And so then they were like, well, it wasn't even that. It was just that, you know, they couldn't find him. So they knew that they wanted that I was going to do an interview. So they're like, well, who else do you want to do? And I'm like, well, whoever's available. I mean, I'm not picky.
Yeah.
And so they gave me Braun. And I was like, okay, cool. And we walked outside.
I know him kind of.
And I was like, well, I've talked with him for at least an hour over the last couple of years, you know, total time.
Yeah.
So looking at him, you've got to know, at least recognize me.
Right.
Like,
your looks don't change.
Yeah,
I've seen you somewhere.
At least acknowledge, because I said, you know, I've interviewed you a couple times. You were up at the, we were drinking beers at the thing, and he's like, And he just didn't give a fuck. He just didn't give a fuck. And so I'm interviewing him, and he's like, he just doesn't give a shit attitude.
He was
like,
snarky.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Like, he was snarky, and he wasn't answering the questions, and he'd look at me all fucking snappy. And then you guys
rolled up,
and you said, hey, what's up? It's Carl. And you guys were all stoked to see me.
We didn't say nothing to Braun.
And didn't say anything to him.
And he went, he kind of looked at me like,
yeah. He realized that he was actually, maybe this guy's kind of like something at least.
And I'm not sure if it was before or after the McDonald Theater show, but we saw him outside of the McDonald Theater wandering around. And my wife likes to go up to celebs or pseudo celebs and talk to him. And so she's like, hey, did you guys go over to CD Game Exchange? There's lots of cool. And he's like, what? And he was just snarky again.
Yeah,
he's like, what do you mean? She goes,
that.
CD Game Exchange. They got lots of cool records and like CDs and stuff. And he's like, no, we didn't. And just like totally like, why are you talking to me?
Yeah, that's kind of.
He was walking around with Scott Kelly. And so like, I don't know. His shit was too good. But That's not your most memorable?
No, that's not my most memorable.
But that was a great thing, and I remember that, too, because I didn't even say, like, oh, could we get your autograph, Bron?
No, you just walked away.
And I don't think I realized. I had met him before and gave him a Domesticide CD, and he took a picture with me, and he goes, oh, yeah, we'll listen to it on the bus for sure. But he kind of rolled his eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get 10 CDs at every show from some band that thinks they're good.
Do you think your wife would approach Carrot Top as a pseudo-celebrity?
Hell no.
I would.
She hates gingers.
Do you think so?
No, it'd be all over.
I'm on this new game to where you pick a movie and then you imagine the lead as Carrot Top instead of the
like your favorite
like
classic
Apocalypse
movie.
Now.
Yeah, but
like
the
Sheen
or The Shining.
Yeah, is Carrot Top.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
You'd be all Danny boy. I'm coming for you. I don't know, man.
I think one of my most memorable interviews. I'll just be. One time instead of go through my whole list of like cool ones because there's so many.
Yeah.
But my favorite one was Corey Taylor from Slipknot because, first of all, we were going up to interview all these bands, Disturbed, and Toby was with me.
Yeah.
We were filming that Edge video stuff.
Videos
that,
of it, yeah.
We were making these concert videos that were kind of cool. And so when we were going into it, we were told by Roadrunner that Slipknot's not doing any interviews. So sorry, we can't do it. And I was like, damn it, they're the main band. I wanted to interview. And they kind of had the Slayer thing. Slayer doesn't do interviews ever unless they have to.
Really?
And so, it's so hard to get
a
Slayer interview, which is weird.
That's cool.
So we didn't expect to get an interview with Slipknot at all. Nobody. Mm-hmm. So we're interviewing Walls of Jericho, and we're kind of doing the thing. And they had just put out an EP that Corey Taylor produced.
Oh.
And so on camera, I was asking him about the album. I was like, so what was it like working with Corey Taylor? You know, he produced your EP. And she goes, I don't know. You can ask him. He's right over there. And I was like, I like got scared because I was like, I'm not supposed to talk to him.
Yeah.
Shit. No, I can't do this. Like, I didn't know if I was going to get kicked out or like get fired.
You didn't want the guy to flip out on you.
Yeah. Or him. And so she's like,
go all Jay Leno.
Corey, come over here. This guy wants to ask you a question. And I'm just like frozen in total fear. And so he comes running over. He's got coffee and he's like, what's up, guys? What's going on? He's like cool as shit.
Yeah. Normal dude.
And he is one of the coolest down to earth guys I've ever met in the whole rock fucking world. I loved him. He was cool as hell.
That's awesome.
So he's talking to us, and it was kind of fucked up because I had this shitty Radio Shack mic, right? It was one of those clip-on mics, you know, because how I was doing the interviews.
Right.
And so I, like, was doing the interview with it in my hand, and he was making fun of that shit totally fucking legit-wise.
That's
and
funny.
I'm like, yeah, sorry, but he's making jokes with it and doing it.
Crackling.
And so we interview him, and, he's doing all kinds of stupid shit with it, And so then, he walks off and we're like, thanks for, hanging out and blah, blah, blah. And it was cool as shit. It's the best interview. It was so spontaneous. And it was all caught on camera. Like, holy shit, that whole thing.
And
so,
the exclusivity of it.
Yeah.
Too.
And it was like, that's not the normal kind of bullshit, stupid, boring interview. And I was so stoked. I was like, that's money. That's going to be the viral video hit of the year.
That's awesome.
Me and Toby sit down after it, and our next interview isn't until we're interviewing Dragon Force, I think, in an hour. And so we're like, let's fucking watch that shit. And so we fucking go and turn on the video, and we're watching it. And I'm like, turn it up, dude. It's fucking – oh. And he's like, no dude. I don't think there's any sound. And I'm like, what? What do you mean there's no sound? And he's like, I don't think there's any sound, dude. And I'm like – what do you mean there's no sound? There's got to be fucking sound. He's like, I don't know. There's no fucking sound.
Were you choking him like Homer Simpson?
And I'm just looking at him, and he's looking at me, and I'm like, did we lose the fucking sound? He's like, I think we lost the fucking sound. And for like a half hour, we're just like, where the fuck is the sound? We lost the sound.
That's a skit.
There's no.
That's
was,
a skit
was,
right
was,
there.
We were so devastated because it was
I'm
gone.
That.
Useless. Yeah. The whole thing was useless. And we're like, no. And we're sitting there and we go and interview Dragon Horse and we're like, fucking bullshit. And it wasn't even cool that we were interviewing Herman Lee. And I love Herman Lee because he's the best guitar player ever.
Yeah.
And so, fuck. And so then. Toby sees him later that day, and he's like, fuck this, dude. I'm gonna get a fucking interview with Corey Taylor if it kills me.
With
we
sound.
Get kicked out with sound. And so he yells over at him. He's like, because we were like at the point where we couldn't walk past because the rest was kitchen and just for the bands.
Right.
And so we didn't have access to that legitimately. We'd get kicked out.
Yeah.
And so he's like, hey, Corey. Hey, man, can you come over here for a second? And he's like, hey, yeah, what's up, guys? What's going on? And he's just like, he's like a fucking kid, and he's running around with his coffee still. And he's like, yeah, man, what's going on, man? What are you guys doing? And he's like, oh, I don't mean that. This is a stupid question, and you could totally say no, but like, that interview we just did a little while ago, and he's like, yeah, man, it was fucking fun, man. Thanks a lot. And he's like, we don't have the audio. And he looks at it, he's like, that little fucking mic didn't work, did it? And we're like, and I'm like, no. And he's like, I told you, it's pieces of shit. And he's, it was so fucking hilarious. And he's like, yeah, let's do an interview. And so we do a whole new interview.
Cool. With the same mic?
No, without the fucking mic.
Just the mic on the camera.
You could have had it as a prop, though.
Right. But so that right there, and he was just down to earth. He was talking about, you know, being in Slipknot. And I was like, have you ever passed out in that mask? And he's like, oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Australia, dude. I was like, I went down, you know.
Oh, I bet.
And then
down under.
Yeah, it was fucking just classy, cool, like not planned at all. Yeah. Like it was so spontaneous,
off
and,
the cuff, rather than you know some guy
rock
either,
and roll, man.
You know, not wanting to do the interview. You know, where they're just kind
they're
of
just
pushing
like
you
doing
off.
It or,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. Probably.
I heard something cool about those guys. Like, I always wondered
on the internet
how hard it would be to perform in full jumpsuits and masks. And I guess they used to, like, after their first album, they used to perform in their masks and their jumpsuit and have forced air heat and make it 90 degrees in their jam room.
Oh, it makes sense.
While they practice just to get
in shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, fuck, I hate it in the summertime when it's 90 degrees in the jam room. I don't even have a mask on. I've got my shirt off, you know.
Yeah.
Dude.
But yeah,
imagine how shitty those suits smell.
Oh, God.
Like,
imagine the first
tour before they're famous, you know, and they don't have like the fucking super five hotels and
they
stuff.
Might, maybe they have the in the bottoms those new car smell air fresheners that they just put in there, and they're stomping on them, and they
put pumpkin candles in October. Like,
the new jumpsuit smell. So maybe we could get Carl in on this. We do a thing where we always check out what's in our friend Hans's CD player.
Oh, yeah.
If you were to check your iPod or your CD player in your car, what's in your CD player right now that you'd be listening to?
It's embarrassing.
It's okay.
But it's embarrassing.
Is it a guilty pleasure?
No, it's a brand new CD that I have a thing. If I get CDs,
you're a radio.
I'm a radio guy, so CDs come to me every day. Yeah. And I do listen to all of them. I really do. I listen to every single CD. Mm-hmm. I get, like people like. Sometimes I don't listen to them right away. Sometimes it's just like fucking like I'm done. You know,
well,
I'll listen to it. And, you know,
well,
I'll find
now because
in my
of
car.
The setup, I want to hear what it is. But then a real answer would be what you would like. It's like what you're listening to.
What am I actually listening to?
What was the last one you picked by choice?
First, what's in your CD player?
It is the new 3 Days Grace.
Oh, those guys are sweet. Those guys are cute kids.
They're like Korn Light. They're like Christian Korn.
Isn't they do that one song,
Corn Puff?
But you know what I gotta say though, like the production, like you could just get whoever's producing their albums, like God damn it, like that's like perfect production, you know, like it's just so mixed well. But their songs are terrible.
Is that I Hate Everything About You?
I hate everything about your band. Yeah.
Oh wait. Okay. So anyway, if you picked one out of your collection and maybe at your house, what's in your CD player or what's in your iPod?
Well, right now I'm listening to a lot of Alice in Chains just because I'm learning the songs to play them because I'm in Sick Man and you're going to be opening for that show.
Yes,
Iron
I am.
Maiden tribute band.
Yes, that's.
Can we talk about that in a second?
Yes, we will.
Awesome. But what I have been listening to aside from that is Lamb of God, Wrath. That fucking album.
It is a good one.
Jesus. You know, I listened to it a couple times when it first came out, and I was like, yeah, fucking rad. And then I put it away, and I haven't listened to it since.
That's the one before last, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
it's the one with the contract.
And they first started, like, introducing blast beats, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, the second song. Yeah, exactly. I was like, what are they doing?
That.
That's awesome. They're, like, branching out.
Yeah. I might have smoked weed with that guy. I mean,
I might again someday, too. So right on. So he's got Lamb of God. So and Hans, a CD player, he's pretty old school. He was listening to some John Coltrane on Wednesday.
Which one?
Yeah,
Love something.
Love Supreme.
Yes.
Will keep us alive.
And today he's listening to Black Sabbath, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath.
Nice.
Which is a great album. Nice. And then I do my What's on My Turntable because I try to listen to some vinyl every day. I have a record player and I still buy records. I got this cool thing off eBay. It's a picture disc of Exodus, Pleasures of the Flesh.
Wow.
With the original artwork that was banned that never got released because the record company, I think it was Combat, wouldn't release it. So I had a group shot on the front with some skulls and some like jungle looking shit. But the original ones has like, it's a cartoon of the Exodus guys and they're ripping each other or they're killing people or something in the jungle. It's pretty cool.
That's not terrible.
No, it's awesome.
That's awesome.
And that's an awesome album, 1986, I believe, but maybe 87. Do you dig Exodus?
Oh, yeah.
Like the
original thrash.
Yeah, for sure.
The 80s era. Their new stuff's good too, though.
Oh, yeah. I like their new singer.
Fuck, man.
Better. I love their first singer best off the first album. Steve Souza's kind of, I don't know, his voice kind of grates on me.
Yeah.
The new guy.
What is that? Like Children of a Worthless God, that song, album?
Yeah.
Incredible.
And then we usually hit what's in Dust's Gatch's junk drawer.
Yeah. Today I got a music-related thing. It's not always music-related.
I thought it was going to be
but a cheat. But it's a single, like a single.
A cassette single?
Of the old group White Trash. Remember them? They had that song Apple Pie.
As opposed to Warrant's Cherry Pie.
Yeah, they had horns. It was right around that same time, a little bit after.
So is that what sparked the question about the second-rate 80s bands?
No.
Yeah. Subconsciously.
I'm all, yeah.
It was the Fast and Pussycat Show is what it was.
Okay.
And the what kind of bands are left to bring to this area.
Right. I was thinking of that ticket. Saigon Kick, if I was going to go shitty B-level.
That guy seems high.
Yeah.
There's that one song where he's singing high and then he just sings higher and higher. Isn't that song? What was their big hit?
Higher and higher. Oh, wait.
No, it was Love Is on the Way.
Yeah. Love Is on the Way.
And then it just goes. And the bridge, I think, is even higher.
Yeah, he gets fucking up there. Yeah.
Okay, so before we run out of time, we should hit that Wow Hall show.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good time. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag a little bit here. It's only a couple weeks away. I'm going to be doing a solo set, and I've been...
Oh, I said that earlier.
No,
not,
that's not...
Up,
no, that's not the cat. No. This is the cat's coming up.
Yeah,
it's some of the songs that I'll be playing.
That cat is out of the bag.
I'm going to be playing acoustic versions of Slayer.
What?
Caius.
Nice.
And I'm going to be joined on stage by a part-time member of Sick Man and former Four Stalls Fall bassist Floyd.
Whoa.
Yes.
He's going to join me on stage for Tenacious D. He's going to be my KG.
Oh, are you going to do the song?
We're going to do Dio, actually, because Dio is not with us anymore. And when that song was written, he was alive.
But, dude, can you guys...
You know what you have to do if you're going to do
the tribute?
Yeah, tribute.
Because it's a tribute show?
Because it's a tribute show. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but that song...
We could
do it.
Come on.
Okay, well...
And then go into Holy Diver.
And then into Holy Diver.
There are certain songs that we're doing just because people are saying... Do this, do this, do this. So if I get enough to do this, we'll do it.
I'm going to get the rallied troops.
Okay, then I guess we could do the tribute because he can sing harmonies with me.
Floyd can sing like an
angel. If people are listening, I want them to buy tickets. Do you have tickets in hand?
I don't have any tickets. Do you have tickets to
get them online?
I tried to get a hold of Bob. I'll have to hit him again down there.
So where can people get tickets? Wow Hall.
They can go down
office.
At the Wow Hall.
CD World.
But that's always hard because there are always weird hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
CD
they
World.
Can go,
House
CD
of
World.
Records. House of Records.
House of Records.
U of O Ticket Office.
U of O Ticket Office.
And TicketWeb, right?
And TicketWeb.com.
Well, I haven't seen the actual event on TicketWeb yet. I've been checking every day. But
well, it's like a week away.
I know. But if you go to sickdaddy.com/maidennw.
Man, that's a lot. Write it down. sickdaddy.com/maidennw.
And then, you can... It's
get
like,
tickets there.
Yeah.
$8 right?
Yeah, it's an extra dollar because of the PayPal fees or whatever, but I'll write your name down, and I'll make sure that you will be able to go down there and pick up tickets. Within the 48 hours, I'll, they should, just be...
And to anyone who's not familiar, I watched Maiden Northwest on YouTube today. Pretty fucking impressive. The singer also played in or sang for the Judas Priest tribute band, and I recognized him, but he's got some pipes on him.
Yeah, it's going to be an Iron Maiden, Alice in Chains tribute show.
And what do you got, like 45 minutes, an hour now? Or
we've added a couple songs. We added Brother. Now I'm playing on more of the songs because when I was first asked to kind of just play one of the songs.
Flesh out some rhythm
parts. And then I played that, and then like, and I jammed a couple more songs because
really
I knew them. And they're like, actually, you should be our guitar player. And I was like, I don't know, I'm already doing Guns and fucking too busy. And then I was like, I love Alice in Chains.
Yeah, how can you say no?
And they're
right?
So easy to play.
And
you
can listen to the record at home and
totally,
learn the songs. Yeah.
Totally. So I was just like, I kind of was like, yeah, I'm into it. And so now we're, we're doing it and trying to have fun with it.
Sweet. Well, it's going to be a fun show. I hope a lot of people come out and check it out. I know there's some other stuff going on, but forget about all that.
Fuck all the other shit.
What other stuff?
What other stuff?
I don't know.
There's always other stuff going on, but no excuses.
No.
How do you miss them? Like, you're not going to get to see
ages.
Maiden.
It's
no.
all
ever.
Ages, man.
Because
bring the kids down.
Well, you don't think they're ever coming back?
Fucking Maiden.
Well, they will, but it didn't come
Eugene.
Anywhere near here. It was Seattle, dude.
Yeah,
I mean,
drive like 4 or 5 hours.
And
you got to pay.
They've already gone past the final frontier, right?
Yeah. And the point is even if you could see them, even if Maiden was playing next month, If you could see a Maiden tribute band, like tribute bands are fun.
$7, man. $7 in advance, you get down
there.
All
the Alice in Chains songs that we play, and then
it's
all of
be
the
a great
Maiden
show.
Shit and everything that you're doing.
You're
going to
see, like, think, you know, you're going to see kids getting excited about this music, you know.
And they have an Eddie.
Yeah, dude,
I saw
do.
A picture of a tall one, and the one I saw was like a short, regular-sized Eddie, but he was in the Peace of Mind outfit with the straight
jacket.
I saw
one with, you know, the flag and the sword.
But I watched them do Aces High and 2 Minutes to Midnight back-to-back, and they killed, man. They nailed, the singer nailed all the notes and went even higher on another part. It was like, whoa. Oh, here's something I want to mention to you guys you might not have heard before we get off the air and get done.
Whoa.
I got excited. Have you heard of this new band called Dio's Disciples?
Are they new? I thought they've been around for a while.
Well, it's Craig Goldie, former Dio guitarist, Rudy Sarzo,
right,
and Tim Ripper Owens
on
vocals from Iced Earth
and
former
Maiden.
Judas Priest.
I mean, Judas Priest. Judas.
And another keyboard player that's not the guy that they had forever, but one of... Anyway, it's Dio alumni doing Dio... So it's not new?
I thought that they started doing that right
before
after.
Dio passed. Oh, maybe they did.
Or like right... Like it's. I've heard about it for a while.
Well, okay. I just now
maybe
heard of it because they're coming
to
Seattle. So I just hadn't heard about it. El Corazon in a couple months. I got
Rush
it.
Is coming, too.
Wow. Those guys, I like their new song.
Stuff. Dude, their new album is good. I was impressed.
I lost those guys for a while because of just what they were doing. And
where were they when you found them?
I finally found them after Alex Lifeson talked him into doing more guitar-oriented stuff and ditching the keyboards. Alex Lifeson of Trailer Park Boys fame.
Yeah.
He's more famous to me from that than Rush. No.
No, he's Sebastian a great... Sebastian Bach, is he more famous from the Trailer Park
Who
Boys?
Who likes fucking trains? Do you watch a lot of Trailer Park Boys? Or
No,
you should
I
watch
try
more.
To.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit I need to watch.
Yeah.
Man, fucking...
It's hilarious. Those guys are coming up to Portland again, too, so...
Nice.
$50, though. I don't
that
know
would
if
be cool.
Shell it out. I'm gonna start a Kickstarter fund to make a ticket to get me a ticket to see a show because I heard
they provide us the prizes.
Kickstarter is just a way to pander to your friends for money.
Yeah, but you gotta always hook them up with some shit. Like I'll fucking clean your whole house for 6 years if you
give
me $50.
20 chicken McNuggets in 4 minutes.
Oh man, we gotta bring back the McNugget
challenge.
I will beer bomb
my asshole. I'll never clear.
Whoa.
Have you seen that trend?
No,
oh
I've heard
God.
The vodka-infused tampons.
Oh, what? That's
you never heard
worse?
That?
Yeah.
No. The kids these days, you can get at least a shot into a super tampon, and then they stick it up in their... And then, like, it doesn't get on their breath. And
it's funny that you edited that.
I know.
Yeah. You said every
you're
cuss
pussy.
Word except vagina pussy.
Yeah, yeah. Vagina pussy cunt.
Well, it goes,
dumb cunt.
The thing is, it can be either or because guys are
doing it, too.
And
the boys do it in their butt,
right, yeah.
Too.
Well, that's what I saw. Like, they're putting the fucking funnel in the butt and just dumping vodka.
And that way it's not on your breath. And they've been having a lot of kids come into the emergency room and they can't figure out. Yeah, and like, what did you do? I poured a half gallon in my ass. I'm fucking drunk off my ass.
Seems awesome.
Ooh, felching. Drink
they
the
also
belch.
Have those little things that you shove up a kid's butt and they poop out of it and it makes like star shapes.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. It makes them excited to poop.
It's like playing with
I don't need to be excited to poop. I'm bored with pooping.
You don't want to encourage your kids
no
to
fun
play
anymore.
With puke. Like, it's bad enough that the shit's coming out.
Couldn't you kiln dry it? And make toys.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
they tell.
Did you not love fucking Play-Doh when you were a kid?
Yeah,
it's the same shit.
Yeah.
Now it's coming out of your body.
Yeah,
you
just need to
human
put,
Play-Doh. That's incredible.
They
you
tell
just
kids
need to put more salt in there.
They tell kids not to play in the sandboxes in the parks and stuff because cats use them for litter boxes.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, the cats are making or the kids are making sculptures out of.
Or
cat
more
food.
Locally,
check out this skull.
Or more locally, watch out for those needles in the sand.
Yeah, needles and cat shit.
Rigs in the sandbox.
Yeah. Good times.
That's a great place to hide your drugs, so if you know you're going to be searched, you hide them in the cat turds in the litter box.
Yeah, no one's going there.
Reminds me of that story we talked about on the last episode about that guy from Scranton, Pennsylvania, who tried eating the pot plant so the cops couldn't take it for evidence. He's just like eating it, and they're like, sir...
I'm going to be fucking tripping soon.
Yeah. I'm going to jail, but I'm going to be high.
You hear about that 41-pound cat somebody turned into the Humane Society or somewhere? Some
that's
dropped
a huge
off.
Fucking pussy.
71
that is
or
big
41
pussy.
Pounds.
That's like three of my cats.
That's huge.
It's like a tiger.
I got a 13.3 cat.
Yeah, you can no longer call it just a domestic cat at that point, can you?
I don't
know. That's a mountain beast.
Yeah.
And it's a Garfield-looking cat, right?
It might be a cougar, too.
And he tried to tell me
after...
that there's no female orange cats.
Is that true?
Jesus, I don't know.
I thought
you gave me the like dragnet look
yeah, like,
at the same time. Like, Do you know?
Exactly. I thought you knew that guy from My Cat from Hell. I thought you were close with that guy.
He's like, oh. No.
No, but have you heard that,
I'm
though, before?
Whisperer. I've heard that, actually, yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
There's no such thing as orange pussy.
Yeah.
Glad.
Yeah. That's weird. It's
have you
red
have,
pussy. Yeah.
Firebox.
I've never known an orange cat to be female.
Well, I guess I haven't either, but I never paid attention because I never owned one.
I had an orange cat and I was a guy. So
I'm racist against orange cats. I hate ginger pussies. Except for my wife, honey. I know you're listening. I love
you. I was
going
to say, wait a minute. You just dug a grave.
Firebox. Okay, well, we must be about to an hour.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're
holy
gonna,
shit, we did a whole show.
Yeah, we did a whole show and we only said fuck like 95 times.
Yeah.
We'll edit them all together.
Fuck, 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 fuck. Maybe next episode we'll talk about how many times they say fuck. Or fucking in The Big Lebowski.
It's like 200 and some. Yeah. I've seen that video.
It's like about 10 minutes
long.
I think it's 10. 10 minutes of fucking.
You know what's
of the 90 minutes.
You know what's badass is all the Danny Glovers. I'm too old for this shit. There's a whole bunch of them.
What movie is that? Just from different movies?
Like from
Lethal Weapon?
Mostly Lethal Weapon. Yeah. But it's funny because there's like a compilation video of like, I'm too old for this shit. Just type it into YouTube. It's
probably
fucking hysterical.
It probably contracts it in that they have to write that line.
Well, it's funny because it's not just Danny Glover. Like there's a 10-minute clip of like all these movies of people saying
that,
like from the 50s onwards. Yeah. Like I'm too old for these kind of.
Dude,
films.
I'm glad somebody's taking the time to do that. So
yeah,
I don't
that's
have to.
It's awesome,
right?
And we can just sit back and push play and watch it.
Some people do those 10-minute loops of like the internet songs that become big that are like 30 seconds, and then they'll put it on a 10-hour loop for
Jesus.
Those that want to try
it's
to
like
get through.
Fuck
like that Trollololol song.
I don't know about that. We talked about that before.
Yeah,
the Trollololololol.
I don't know.
There's some.
You'll look it up.
Weird.
I will. All right. Well, hey everybody, have a good weekend. Thanks for listening on a Friday, and thanks to Carl for being here on the Tagcast Standard Ass Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We're out of here with our outro music from Floyd. Floyd McCulloch actually made this on his iPad.
Are you guys going to suck my dick now?
Yeah, just wait. I'm going to buy you a soda first. Yeah, listen to the words. Floyd's so smooth. I love him. He's my KG.
That's Floyd?
Yeah. He's mad as a taco, but he won't put up a fight. So, yeah, thanks for listening, y'all. Tune in again on Monday. Metal.
I just had three thoughts escape my brain all at once.
That song will do it to you every time.
Yeah. Extra special thanks to Rock Out Radio for airing classic Tagcast episodes on their Free for All Fridays. A block of podcasts they play. We air at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, but the block starts at 6 p.m. We encourage our listeners to check out all of the shows on rockoutradio.com.
Tagcastpodcast.com.
Hey, all you taggers looking for something to do? I'm sure you are. Don't just stay home and be a stick in the mud. We got some stuff coming up for you to do. Friday, October 5th, we got a comedy show at Into Pizza in Independence, which is a little bit west of Salem, with Rico Starr, Andrew Dulst, John Green, myself, Will Woodruff, and your host, Jesse Priest. That's $5 in advance, $7 at the door. It starts at 9 p.m., and it's all ages, but a mature audience is recommended, if you know what I mean. We got Fall Into Darkness on Saturday, October 6th. It's only day two of a three-day festival, but this is the only one that I'm impressed with. So go check out St. Vitus with Weed Eater, Sour Vein, and Ephemeris. Can't pronounce that correctly. $12 in advance, 17 at the door. That's at Bronx in Portland, 8 p.m., 21 and over. You want to win some tickets to see Patton Oswalt? Of course you do. Think you're funny? Of course you do. Go down to Duffy's Hangar. That's at 2275 McGilchrist in Salem. That's Sunday, October 7th. They're having a monthly local stand-up comedy competition. This month's prize is two tickets to see Patton Oswalt at the historic Elsinore Theater. It starts at 7 p.m. Get there a little before that to sign up. 21 and over, and it's by audience reaction, so bring your friends, and you might win a pair of tickets to see Patton. Level Up Arcade is hosting another comedy show on Monday, October 8th. It's called The Kill Screen Comedy by Seth Milstein. This time, David Huntsberger will be there and Andy Mann from Portland. Seth will be doing a set as well, and your host will be Joshua Finch. It's $5 at the door, 9 p.m. showtime, 21 and over. Our good friend Crosby Ringer will be playing at the Red Room in Portland on October 9th. It's a Tuesday, but get out there anyway. His band Ion Storm is playing with Toxic Zombie and a couple others. It starts at 8 o'clock. It's 21 and over, also $5. We Have Guns is playing with Head PE down in Grants Pass, so go check that out if you're down there. That's at the Rogue Theater, Wednesday, October 10th. I don't have information. Just hit up the guys from We Have Guns, either Carl or Issa or Toby. They've all got tickets for you. Also, Head PE in Portland with our other friends, 30 Pound Test at the Bossa Nova Ballroom. They've also got tickets for that. Hit up Jason and Zach. They're $14 in advance, $17 at the door. But you can save some cash by hitting up the Rowe Brothers or Blake or Lyndon. So go see Head PE and a couple of our local bands opening for them on their tour. It's going to be pretty cool. Next Friday, October 12th, at the Wow Hall, we got Maiden Northwest. It's an Iron Maiden tribute band. Sick Man will be opening for them. That's at the Wow Hall. Did I already say that? Sick Man is an Alice in Chains tribute band, and myself will be opening the show with an acoustic tribute to hard rock and metal. Tickets are $7 in advance, $10 at the door. Starts at 8 p.m. All ages. Bring the kids. Saturday, October 13th, at Dixie Creek Saloon, Dave Wilson and the Willamette Valley local music scene is bringing Catechist, American Roulette, and Bury the Goat to the Dixie Creek Saloon. It's 9 p.m. showtime, 21 and over. It's a free show. Go check that out. The next night, Sunday, October 14th, I'll be performing a comedy show at the Ash Street Saloon in Portland. It's down and dirty, so don't bring the kids. We'll be having Matt Steiner, Grace Sadie, Carson Creasy, Stephanie Pirtle, Sean Connery, not the Sean Connery, but Sean C. Connery, and Jesse Priest, and your headliner, Anthony Lopez. It's $5. At the door, 9 p.m., 21 and over. Check out this metal show, Wednesday, October 24th. It's Nether Regions with Black Tusk, Lord Dying, and Towers at Plan B. That's up in Portland at 1305 Southeast 8th Street. It's $8, 9 o'clock, 21 and over. Friday, October 26th at the Blacklight Lounge, we got Crimson Guardian with Brutos and A Killing Dove. 9 p.m., only $4. That's the cheapest show yet. $4, 21 and over. The Blacklight Lounge is in Salem on 610 Marion Street. Here's a cool show at the Wandering Goat, October 27th. A solo performance by Mike Scheit from Yob. And he will have Phil Merwin from Dirt Clod Fight opening the show, an acoustic night at the Goat. I believe that's $5 at the door, 9 p.m. Sunday, November 11th, we have Napalm Death coming to the Hawthorne Theater. Just check out Napalm Death online, and you can find out all the information for that. And don't forget about the season finale taping of the Tagcast podcast and comedy showcase number 4 at the Dixie Creek Saloon. That's Saturday, November 17th, with Andy Andrist, Jesse Priest, myself, and our host, Dustin Gatchel. That's a free show, 9:30 p.m., 21 and over. And that's too much for you guys to even handle. So check back next week for more stuff to do. In the meantime, listen to the Tagcast podcast. See you guys later.